Good morning.
Good morning.
It is good to be at the house of the Lord, in person and online. We're at the fifth Sunday in Lent. And with this Sunday's focus, this thought, how do you show in your life that you get what Jesus has done for you? What is it that Jesus has done for you? The church season of Lent gives us a clear reminder of what He has done for us and the impact it is to have on our life. It is not business as usual. And so as we contemplate once again what it is Jesus has done for us, and as we think about how we show we get what Jesus has done for us, may the Lord encourage us through His Word, which we hear and speak and sing this morning. God's blessings in our worship. We turn our attention to our opening hymn, How Great Thou Art, Christian Worship, number 256. The bulletin is found online on our website under the media link, or if you receive our weekly emails, the link to the bulletin is there as well.
Thank you.
worship this day in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. For the Lord is good, and His love endures forever. Dear friends, let us approach God with a true heart and confess our sins, asking Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to forgive us. Lord of life, I confess that I am by nature dead in sin, for faithless worry and selfish pride, for sins of habit and sins of choice, for the evil I have done and the good I have failed to do. You should cast me away from your presence forever. O Lord, I am sorry for my sins. Forgive me for Jesus' sake. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. In His great mercy, God made us alive in Christ even when we were dead in our sins. Hear the word of Christ through His called servant. I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Eternal God and Father, help us to remember Jesus, who obeyed your will and bore the cross for our salvation, that through his anguish, pain, and death, we may receive forgiveness of sins and inherit eternal life. The first lesson for this fifth Sunday in Lent comes to us through the prophet Jeremiah, 31st chapter, a reminder that salvation does not come through human obedience, but rather by the grace of God through the gift of faith in Jesus and the work he has done. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and with the people of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their ancestors, when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant I will make with the people of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, "Know the Lord," because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. The word of the Lord. Our psalm for today is Psalm 115. It's from the supplement. It's found on page 13 in the back of the bulletin. The vocalist will sing the refrain through once, and then the congregation will sing through it. The vocalist will sing the verses. We, the congregation, will join on the refrains, and the glory be to the Father. For this to be done. Hebrews chapter 5. During the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. Son though he was, he learned obedience from what he suffered, and, once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. And was designated by God to be high priest in the order of Melchizedek. The word of the Lord. Stand for the gospel. From the Gospel of St. John, the 12th chapter, this is what Jesus was willing to endure for you. Now, there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the festival. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. "Sir," they said, "we would like to see Jesus." Philip went to tell Andrew. Andrew and Philip, in turn, told Jesus. Jesus replied, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and will glorify it again." The crowd that was there and heard it said it had thundered. Others said an angel had spoken to him. Jesus said, "This voice was for your benefit, not mine. Now is time for judgment on this world, Now the prince of this world will be driven out, and I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. He said this to show the kind of death he was going to die. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you, Lord.
Please be seated as we continue with our hymn of the day, Christian worship number 359, Jesus, my great high priest. Peace are yours in great abundance. And this is possible because of God our Father and through the saving work of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We focus back on the second reading for today, hearing once again from Hebrews chapter 5. He, Jesus, became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey Him. This is God's word, we pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Dear people of God, let us never take for granted how we have become such by God's grace through the calling of the Holy Spirit, using the means of grace, the gospel, in word and in sacrament. If you could take pain or hurt away from a loved one, would you do it? As a parent, we try to spare our children from pain or trouble. But sometimes it takes the experience the child goes through to appreciate the fact that mom and or dad may have been right. It is frustrating, though, is it not, when we cannot help someone in their pain? Our Heavenly Father, our Creator, saw us in pain. And He could not help but do something about it. So He came up with the perfect plan. And like a child at times will do, we humans ignore or think we know better. And so we push God's perfect plan away. Ignoring God's way of helping us deal with a pain like no other. The church season of Lent reminds us of what that pain is and what God has done to spare us from it. In a nutshell, how He has spared us from it is this: Jesus, the source of eternal salvation. And yet bear in mind that this eternal salvation that Jesus has accomplished for us, it is not something that came easy, as we heard in our readings earlier in the service. Our eternal salvation came at a great price, not to you and to me or to anyone else in this world, but to Jesus Christ, God's one and only Son. And so we are reminded once again in the season of Lent and throughout the entire church year, year after year, for good reason, what Jesus had to endure and why He had to endure it. Keep in mind, Jesus had taken on human flesh so that He could accomplish our eternal salvation. And so He felt the pain that we feel. He felt the burden of sin, not His own sin, but all of our sins. He knew and knows what it's like to lose a loved one, to see a loved one in pain. He Himself endured great pain and suffering for simply telling the truth, but truth that people did not want to hear about themselves. And it isn't any different today. Jesus still has truth for us necessary to hear, but how many people, including us at times, really don't want to hear the nitty-gritty truth about ourselves? Why Jesus had to endure pain and suffering. Why He had to take on human flesh and die. It wasn't easy. And so Jesus even prayed to His heavenly Father. Remember in the garden? Father, if there is another way to get this eternal salvation accomplished, can we do it? But He knew the answer already. And so He said, not my will, Father, but Your will be done. And He prayed that with loud cries and tears. This wasn't easy, for He knew what was waiting for Him. And He had told the disciples in countless times what was going to be happening to Him, why He really came to this earth, and it fully didn't sink into the disciples. And does it really fully sink into us at all times? The why and the what Jesus came to accomplish? It was because of our trespasses, our crossing over the line. We know it says do not trespass, but oh, it won't hurt just to step over the line. Or our iniquities, our failure to measure up. God expects this. Well, God, can we compromise? Can you be satisfied with this? Or our sins are missing the mark, not just once or twice, but countless times. Call it whatever you want. Use whatever word you want. It all boils down to the same thing. We have sinned against God in thought, word, and deed. And just the fact that we are conceived in sin was reason enough for God to implement the perfect plan of salvation. May we never lose sight of the why Jesus had to endure what He endured, and that He was willing to endure it so that we could have eternal salvation. This is what makes Jesus unique, does it not? Apart from all the other gods or ways of salvation or ways to deal with sin that people have come up with in this world? How many religions ask you or tell you you need to do something to accomplish your salvation, to deal with your guilt, where God has said, I have done something that you cannot do to deal with it? Others ask you to sacrifice your life when Jesus sacrificed his life so that we would not have to sacrifice our own, because our sacrifices would not atone for our own sins, let alone for the sins of anyone else. But the sacrifice of Jesus has atoned for the sins of all. That includes you and me. And so we have victory through the cross. The cross that Jesus was willing to die on. With that victory comes forgiveness of sins, peace with God, reconciliation with God, necessary. And so we have a new attitude in life. We're not living for ourselves. Rather, we are motivated to live for God. Because we know that this life is temporary, and so everything we do reflects the fact that we get where we're going in God's good time for us. Because that's ultimately the way Jesus came to win us eternal salvation. And so through everything that Jesus endured, he learned perfect obedience. He already was perfect, but in other words, he completed what was necessary to win our eternal salvation. A salvation that did not come easy. And as we think about that again, we are then motivated during our time here on earth to imitate Jesus, who put it all on the line for his heavenly Father and for you. Jesus then provides the motivation for us to listen to him, his word of truth, and to obey, to put into practice his word of truth. Paul, by inspiration, reminds us in Corinthians, the love of Christ compels us to no longer live for ourselves, but rather for him who lived and died and lives again for us. In Romans 12, we are reminded, in view of God's great mercy, which is fresh and new each and every day, offer your bodies, yourselves, as living sacrifices to God. This is your spiritual worship. Whatever you do in the workplace, in the home, here at church, in the community, it is an act of worship to the glory of God. At least it is to be. Not for selfish gain, but to the glory of God. Not because we'll be recognized for what we do and patted on the back, but because this is what Jesus wants us to do, to love him and to love our neighbor as we love ourselves, motivated properly by Jesus, who is the source of eternal salvation. It's important to keep this in mind. Jesus knew this, and so he gives us these words because he knows there are countless dangers standing in the way of our attaining eternal salvation. There is temptation after temptation. Jesus knows what temptation is like. He had temptation put in front of him every step of the way. And yet, thankfully, as we're reminded of in Hebrews, though he was tempted in every way, just as we are, he remained without sin. Can we say the same? No, we can't. And Jesus also knew another danger that stands in the way that could prevent us from gaining that eternal salvation he has won for us is spiritual laziness. Now, COVID has had some blessings when it's come to worship, but it's also had some negatives when it comes to worship. And we pray that we can have some normalcy again when it comes to worship. Because while, again, on the internet we can tune in to more devotions and worship services, at the same time, we can easily tune out and say, I'll get to it later. But does that later come? So we need each other to be together Let us not give up meeting together as we are able to do so, so that we can encourage one another, and all the more as we see the day approaching, because Jesus knows there are dangers along the way trying to keep us from attaining to that eternal salvation He came to accomplish for us. And that's what's at stake, that we might lose what He has accomplished for us. So let us not take it for granted. And thus think about how we show in our life that we get what Jesus has done for us day in and day out. You know, as sports is starting to pick up again, especially in the local level, can those athletes just go pick up where they left off? No. Or a musician? It takes constant dedication and practice. And for us as children of God, there is no affordability of taking time off or time away from God. The more we disconnect, the further that disconnection can be, to the point of we've lost out. And so Jesus gives us this warning to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews was written to believers who were tempted to slide away back into legalism and work righteousness, or slide away back into their false religions. Don't do it. Hold on to Jesus, the source of eternal salvation. We are what we eat, so may we continue to eat the Word of God so that we can be and live that Word. So when trials and tribulations and fears and so forth comes our way, we know where to turn, and we know that those things cannot take away from us what Jesus has won for us, eternal salvation. When those things come in our life, pray to God and trust that He has the answers. It may not be your answer to that prayer, but keep in mind His answer is best. Because while it may not lead to comfort here on this earth, it does lead to comfort for all eternity. Contemplate then daily what Jesus has done for you and what He did to accomplish that for you. Keep our eyes continually focused on Jesus and live those words of Romans 8. We believe that our present sufferings are not worth comparing to the eternal glory that awaits us. For in Christ we are victors already. Looking forward to the full goal of that victory, thanks to Jesus, the source of eternal salvation. Amen. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard and keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us confess our Christian faith with the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through Him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, He came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake He was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day He rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and His kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. We turn to the prayer of the church. Heavenly Father, Because of our sins, we justly deserve to suffer both your curse during our time on earth and your condemnation eternally in hell. For his sake, you have forgiven our sins and cleansed us from all unrighteousness. Mercifully provide whatever each of us may need for body and life. Protect us and those we love from all harm and danger. Maintain good government among us, and bless all those in authority with wisdom and integrity.
Defend us from the devil and the world, which would lure us back into the ways that leads to eternal death. Destroy in us the desires of the contrary to the world.
Comfort the persecuted, the depressed, the sick, and the dying, with the assurance that nothing can separate us from your love.
Strengthen our faith by the word of your forgiveness and by the sacrament of our Savior's and the body of our Lord. Grant that we may praise you, our merciful God, by showing mercy to others in all things.
O Lord of heaven and earth and sea, to you all praise and glory be. How can we thank you properly, who gives us all? Dear Lord, from you we all derive our life, our gifts, our power to give. Oh, may we ever with you live, who gives us all. Be with the families of Hilma Wolcott and Helen Bo Gysi as you have taken these ladies of faith to yourself in heaven. Thank you for their time among us, filling the lives of their families and the people around them with countless blessings, also setting an example of faith. Fill the families with precious memories, and above all, with your love and peace, which is rooted in what Jesus came to accomplish to make such peace and hope a reality. And continue to watch over those among us celebrating a birthday this week. And for those celebrating a wedding anniversary, help them see each other as a blessing to the other, and you the source of every good and perfect gift. We commit to your care our bodies and souls and all things. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is good and right, so to you.
Blessed are you, O Lord of heaven and earth. We praise and thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ. And we remember the great acts of love through which he has ransomed us from sin, death, and the devil's power. By his incarnation, he became one with us. By his perfect life, he fulfilled your holy will. By his innocent death, he overcame hell. By his rising from the grave, he opened heaven. Invited by your grace and instructed by your word, we approach your table with repentant and joyful hearts. Strengthen us through Christ's body and blood, and preserve us in the true faith until we feast with him and all his ransomed people in glory everlasting.
Amen.
And we also pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Just a reminder again to please come forward at this time. We're going to start on the lectern side. We'll start from the front. You exit to the outside of your row, go through the entryway down the far side aisle, stop for the wafer, and then move to the wine, and then return to your row by the center aisle. And then when we get to the pulpit side, we'll start from the back and make our way to the front, exiting again your pew on the outside. Please come forward, for all things are now ready.
they can be made body of Christ and true blood of our Lord and Savior. They can be the body of Christ.
Now may this body which was
given for you and this blood which was shed for you strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Go in peace. You are at peace with God. Amen. We give you thanks, O Lord, for the foretaste of the heavenly banquet that you have given us to eat and to drink in this sacrament. Through this gift you have fed our faith, nourished our hope, and strengthened our love. By your Spirit, help us to live as your holy people until that day when you will receive us as your guests at the wedding supper of the Lamb, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
A reminder, our Sunday Bible study, we're looking at 1 Corinthians. Handouts are available on the table if you're here or online under the media link or also under the Staying Connected to God's Word link or also on the email that gets sent out each week. We're looking at today, again, why the Bible is not foolishness and rather the ways of the world are foolishness. Studies for all ages can be available and found online. You can find references to those studies online or in the bulletin or in our weekly news. See the weekly news for other details, information, things that are happening here at church and school. You can also go to the website and find the school main page, which comes out every Monday, and stay in touch that way with specifics about the school. We have our last midweek Lenten service this coming Wednesday, Lord willing, at 7 o'clock. Food Truck Friday this week at 4 o'clock, starting at 4. Keep that in mind. You can go to our website for more details on that. Just a note about Helen Boghese. She was a teacher here at St. Mark's from 1970 to 1985. So we keep the family of Helen in our prayers. And also then for Hilma and for her family, her victory service is scheduled here at church at 10 o'clock on Friday. Visitation from 9:30 to 10. There'll also be a visitation on Thursday evening at Price Funeral Home on Sunrise in Citrus Heights from 5 to 7. So that's Thursday, 5 to 7 at the funeral home here, Friday, 9:30 to 10, visitation, 10 o'clock service. Holy Week services, and we've adapted the times of the service, so thank you for your patience. What's set in the weekly news and what's found in the back of the bulletin, the midweek Lenten bulletin, we're going with 7 o'clock Easter Sunday a.m. indoors, 9 o'clock Easter Sunday indoors, 10:45 Easter Sunday outdoors. That's the schedule for now. Plan to stick with it. Weather permitting, outdoors. If not, we'll come inside. Blessings on the rest of your day. Thank you for continuing to look out for one another.